Wait a minute, you're going to pay your car taxes before I'm going too.
Yeah, I have to go pay my car
taxes. Do you mean to pay them while I'm over there?
I mean, if you're not going to require reimbursement, that'd be great.
You are listening to From the Dome to Your Home podcast, the Municipal Association's weekly look at legislative action and issues facing cities and towns around the state. I'm your host, Casey Fields.
I wish that, yet again, I wish this was like a live stream where you could see everybody. Joni's got her earbuds in. Scott has video in closed caption on his phone. Joni's got her Sunny Die t-shirt with her. Sunny Die, the lobbyist party.
If you would allow videoing of these of this, then
yeah, it
perhaps
wouldn't be as good. That's just if okay,
leave
right.
Something to the imagination.
I'll cut a deal right now.
No, I'm not taking that deal.
Cut a deal right now.
We're not doing that. All right. We don't have the technology for that.
I bet Mr. Producer could figure it out. Everybody, welcome back. Here's what we've got. It is Wednesday, June the 14th. And the House and Senate reconvened at noon today to take up multiple conference reports, including the budget, and other conference reports related to bond reform, electric utilities, and death benefits for first responders.
Today's also Flag Day.
It is Flag Day.
If you haven't reviewed the U.S. Flag Code lately, I highly commend that to you.
Happy Flag Day.
Happy Flag Day.
So today we have Joni on the show.
Woo-woo. Hello.
And she is going to talk about money.
Money, money, money.
There we go. I knew that was the OJs were going to come in at some point in time. And also related to money, I'd like to ask this trivia question to the both of you today.
Fire away.
You ready?
We'll see how it goes.
I hate trivia questions.
What city in South Carolina is the Emerald City? Oz is not the correct answer. There is no Oz, South Carolina.
You know why I hate trivia questions? I hate being wrong.
That's okay. I got you back.
Thanks, Scott.
What city in South Carolina is the Emerald City?
I'll give you a clue later on when we get there, Joni, to help you get to get it.
Mr. Hotshot over there already knows the
answer. He knows the answer?
Yeah.
He already knows the answer.
Of course.
Yeah. I'm on phone a friend.
He already went there in his head. Mr. Producer, we've got to come up with something harder, okay? All right, everybody, Joni is on the show today to talk about, and listen, if y'all have updates on House of Senate activity that you're watching, please feel free to jump in.
Okay.
And tell everybody what's happening.
Here's a late breaking. The Senate has adjourned into executive session. So.
Okay, so they're going to do some appointments,
Who are they appointing, I wonder? I don't know either.
No telling.
Doesn't matter. We don't care.
So, Joni, the last week, the Budget Conference Committee met three times, the last of which was on Thursday at something just popped in your head.
Merle just popped in my ear.
Right. He got your
really loud. Sorry.
Her earbud. Okay. So they met Thursday. They came. They were kind of in and out. Right.
Yes.
We weren't really sure what they were going to do. But then they came in. They reconvened at 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And in like 10, 15 minutes. We had a budget conference report.
So let me set the scene, Casey.
Set it, baby.
We were told to be there at 2 o'clock. So I was there at 2 o'clock. We were all there waiting. The room was locked. And then we passed some of the conferees in the hallway. And they asked me specifically if we'd gotten it done yet. And I laughed and I said, we're waiting on you.
Right. Yeah, exactly. We're waiting on you to get it done.
And then we were told by staff basically to go home. That it was going to be 3:30. 4:30 at the earliest, and when they do come back, it was going to be very brief.
Okay. So we kind of thought at that point, well, they're just not going to do it.
Yeah, Casey and I had conversations. I said, you know,
there's no way.
They're just coming back to say we still haven't reached anything.
Right.
Because at that point, we were told that the House brought over a new version, and they were going in closed doors to talk it over with the Senate conferees.
Okay.
And so then, you know, we're all looking at the computer screen every 30 minutes.
Right.
Waiting, and then they come back around 5, and it was very quick, and
they got it done.
This was after the very contentious meeting the day before.
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
You and I discussed.
Yeah,
did y'all talk about the hang up? That this is all about a vet school.
We discussed all that.
Okay. Yeah, we talked about that.
There was a very heated argument. discussion.
Oh, and I've shared my analysis with what led to what I think as a result of that meeting led to the breakthrough on the conference report.
Yeah.
That is a contrarian view of what is a more popular view across the state. So
can't even believe that Scott would have a contrarian view.
But I was talking to some folks today who said, yo, no, I agree with you 100%. You're exactly right. So, but we won't talk about that.
No, but I agree with you 100%.
Right.
So let's highlight some, let's talk about dollars first.
Okay. I got big dollars.
Let's highlight a couple things in the budget that are big. So we've got the local government fund fully funded.
Mm-hmm.
In accordance with Act 84,
yep.
which was the bill that passed in 2019 that requires the 5%.
Yep, additional $13.2
million. The CTC money.
Yes, yeah, so the CTC money, originally it was put in for $200 million.
In the House version?
In the House version.
Okay.
And the Senate put a dollar okay. just to save the line because they didn't know what they wanted to do.
Right.
H2 put it back in for $200 million, okay. and then for conference, it ended up being at $20
million. Okay.
So that's additional money
than to the baseline.
Than
yeah.
the regular funds for C funds, the local,
right.
the county transportation committees.
This is just the
one-year
non-recurring.
Yes.
This will put them at, I think, a total of $130 million, because their baseline is pretty high.
I thought it was more like 150 was their baseline, but I could be wrong.
I think
on that.
I'm pretty sure Bannister just when he said today. I think he said their base was maybe he said their base was 130, and this will give us 20. This will get us to 150.
So, but you know, that's actually a smaller number than what they put in added to count to the C fund over the last several years. So, I'm kind of surprised by that, but maybe they feel like. Maybe the General Assembly feels like the additional monies that they put in either have been put on the roads, or maybe the money's not getting spent, and they're like, why would we throw more money at them if they're not going to spend it? I don't know what the answer is.
Well, and Scott, I would agree that that's what the Senate feels like, because the House, as I just told Casey, wanted to put in an additional $200
right.
million. So
right.
I think the House wanted to continue
yeah.
to throw money at, not throw well, money, not, but
yeah,
put,
right.
put money towards
right.
that. When
right.
the Senate... maybe wanted some more accountability and say what is happening with this money.
Yeah, yeah, and that makes sense that you would want to know how have the previous funds been spent so far.
Yeah, absolutely. $200 million is a lot of money.
So if cities and towns have not been able to – haven't been taking advantage of this largesse from the C fund over the last few years, you need to do it so that
right.
the General Assembly will continue to put money towards local road projects.
Yep.
So.
$40 million, a little over $40 million to cover the 1% increase
for the state retirement. So I'm
right.
gonna back up a little bit because everyone gets a little confused with the state retirement contribution. It is supposed to go up 2%. The state puts in the state budget for 1%. So cities and towns are still responsible for an additional 1%.
And this is the last year of the multi-year 2% annual increase in the retirement system contributions from employers.
That is correct.
Not employees. Employees maxed out a long time ago.
In 2017, I believe.
Yeah, the employer increase is maxed out after this fiscal
after this year.
Year.
And we were supposed to be finished the year before, but they took a break because of COVID.
Because of COVID,
that's
yeah.
correct.
And you know, compliments to the General Assembly for covering
right,
half
of
that 2%
yeah,
annual
right.
increase the last several years.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
Another important thing for our cities and towns and our police, fire departments is the $750,000 for the PTSD treatment services. That includes an additional $250,000, right, from last year?
That
so
is
they
correct.
Increased it.
So last year, before the budget passed, it was $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, they gave an additional $250,000 in recurring dollars.
Okay.
And that is what you see in this year's budget. That $750,000
okay.
is those recurring dollars that is split between the firefighters and the police officers.
Okay, wonderful. That's a great program to take advantage of. And they will fund it as long as...
there's
people are using it.
I would hope that, and this is the most recent example. A recent example, the kid that got killed in the fire
yeah.
with Irmo Fire
Irmo
District
fire,
a few weeks ago. Here, I would hope that his fellow firefighters if they needed PTSD treatment services, sought that out as a, through this program, because it is available through the South Carolina Firefighters Association.
Free, right?
So, yes, it's free to the, it's free to public safety. Absolutely.
The V-Safe program that was funded at $3 million.
So, yep, that legislation passed last year but was not funded, so it was funded this year.
A couple of things. The Rural County Stabilization Fund received $12 million, and there is a proviso that goes along with that line item.
That breaks it down.
That breaks it down what counties, according to the population, decrease in the 2020 census. $36 million for, to the South Carolina Dam Safety Emergency Fund. It's dam safety, not dam safety.
D-A-M.
Right.
I got in trouble in like third grade.
You did it on purpose.
For cursing, and I tried to explain that
surprised?
I was talking about a D-A-M. A
like the infrastructure of a dam in third grade.
As a third grader?
All right, Scott.
Mrs. Butler, Mrs. Butler wasn't, she wasn't buying that.
Sure. Mm-hmm. the Department of Mental Health got almost $5 million total for the 988 Suicide Prevention Call Center.
That's correct. And the largest advocate for that was Senator Alexander. He he spoke up for every meeting for those 988 call centers.
That's great. Tourism promotion got some money. Destination specific grants received some money. And the rural South Carolina Rural Infrastructure Authority received $7.5 million for the Rural Infrastructure Fund.
Yep.
That's not ARP funds.
No,
right.
That's
no,
not
no,
the
no,
state
no.
ARP. That's just, no, that's just
this
the regular
funds. That's the regular funds
for
the IRA.
Pre ARP programs. That's right.
Here's the greatest thing I think that's in the budget or that's not in the budget.
I was going to ask what's not in
short-term
the budget.
Short-term rentals.
The short-term rental proviso that was in the House version but was not in the Senate version did not make it into the final
conference
report.
Yep.
So kudos to everybody. We appreciate everybody's support on the conference committee in removing that proviso.
Got a hallelujah on that one at our board of directors meeting this
morning.
So
nice.
Happy about that. Yeah.
A couple, Joni, that we want to talk about.
Let's back up real quick.
Okay, back it up.
We can't leave that without saying this.
Okay.
Just because that proviso was taken out of the budget does not mean that our struggle against the preemption of municipal regulatory authority over short-term rentals is over. That battle that's just the first skirmish in what is going to be a long battle, we expect, come January of next year when the General Assembly comes back.
The bill that is still in the 3M, the House 3M committee, Representative Lee Hewitt's bill, it's still there.
Yep, 3253 is that House bill number, yep.
Because it is in the middle of a two-year session,
yep,
the bill is still active.
So, yes, let's celebrate quietly and be happy about that proviso being taken out, but we've still got a long, long way to go before this issue is resolved.
Joni, talk about the return to work provisos in the budget.
Give me 1 second, Casey. I'm sorry. They're talking about they're about to adjourn sine die, and the Senate's going to do the same thing, and they're only just going to deal with vetoes.
Without a sine die resolution.
They said they're about to do it. They're going to consult with the majority leader and the minority leader, and if they have the consent, then they will adjourn sine die. I'm so sorry.
But they're going to come back. Mm-hmm. For vetoes.
Yeah. And that's it.
That would be excellent.
I'm sorry. What was your question, Casey?
breaking
return
news
to
folks.
Work. Yeah, exactly. Return to work for a police officer retirement system in South Carolina State Retirement
System. So that one stayed the same. That was the one that was in there last year. You have to have at least a 12-month break in service. And that includes contractual work, full-time employee work. If you have that 12-month break in service, the cap does not apply. That is a $10,000 cap, and you can come back. And you can make your earnings. You will still contribute to the South Carolina State Retirement, but your retirement, because you have already retired, does not go up.
Yeah, you can earn more than $10,000 and draw your retirement pay at the same time under this proviso after you've been separated for 12 months.
But going back to work does not increase your retirement check afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Perfect. A couple of other provisos, Joni, that I think that we need to talk about, the state health plan.
Yeah, the 3.7. Yeah.
Right. So that was changed from the 18 or something like that?
We had an 18.1% increase last year, and that was because for over the last 4 years prior to last year, they did not have an increase in the health premium. And they said they were playing catch up in COVID and paying right. all those out-of-pocket expenses. So this year is a more reasonable 3.7% increase. Okay. And that does include the governor's request for the extra gynecological visit for women. Excellent. And that equates to about $25 per person. And that does include men on the plan. It went across, it spread out evenly across the board.
Perfect. Any other provisos, Joni, that you want to... that you want to talk about? The STR proviso was, we deserve a cold beer for one.
That was my favorite one.
That was the favorite. Came out. Yeah, exactly.
I think you've covered all of them.
So now the budget goes, they are going to ratify acts when they adjourn today. Included in the ratification is the fentanyl bill, these conference reports, the budget. Once they're ratified, which is signed by the leaders of both houses and the clerks, they will go to the governor for his signature. I believe he has 5 days, excluding Sundays, to return. So he's got a lot of work to do. Governor McMaster may need to work over the weekend.
Ooh, I hope so.
He may have over the weekend. So let's go over a couple more bills that were passed today in conference reports, if that's okay with y'all. Joni, do you have an extra minute to?
I do. I'm still.
You're listening.
I'm listening. So I'm doing both. Go ahead.
Well, listen, when they adjourn or when they have something that when we know when they're going to come back, please break in.
I will.
House Bill 3235, which is the bond reform bill.
Yes.
That conference committee met actually this morning, Wednesday morning. They came in, they requested free conference powers because they had to make some changes that were not in either version of the bill.
Yep.
They were granted free conference powers, and then they adopted the conference report with several changes. The changes include the criteria for a person who commits a crime while out on bond, SLED's handling electronic monitoring, and giving bondsmen additional time to get the mandated insurance that they need.
Yeah, and that criteria is something new that I don't think had been previously contemplated, and it wasn't explained what those criteria are in the conference committee, according to Erica. So we'll once we learn what those details are, I mean, for our purposes, this is more important for the courts to know, but
right.
I think it would be helpful for certainly law enforcement to understand what the implications are for setting up that criteria. And so once we get those details, we'll share that with everybody.
Also, Senate Bill 108, Joni, that was a bill that you followed. That was the death benefit, the first responder death benefit bill. That conference committee also had to get free conference powers because they needed to change the effective date. They wanted to change that date so as to include the firefighter that lost his life in service in May.
Right.
And so that bill was, the conference report was adopted on both the House, in both the House and Senate.
Yeah, and this is a death benefit that the state has not had previously. There are other states across the country that have afforded a death benefit.
And this is in addition to the federal benefit that
Correct.
You receive.
Okay. Right, right. Yeah, this is a state benefit.
This will be state benefit. And sometimes your local municipality also has a different, death benefit with your rider for your insurance.
Right.
So they would receive that. They would receive the state benefit, and they would automatically receive this federal benefit.
And that's on top of, I think, the workers' compensation program death benefit that comes too. So it's just an additional amount of funds that would go to the family.
And then Senate Bill 330, that was the shoot 'em up, electric utility system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That bill did not require free conference powers.
No.
The conference committee met, while they were both in session, like around 12:30.
Mm-hmm.
Their conference report removed the treble damages. Is that right?
Yeah. So the civil penalty included a triple damages
mm-hmm.
Clause in there. The House did not like that treble damages, so they took that out. There's still a civil penalty. It's just a straight up penalty. It doesn't multiply by three. And then the House amended the fentanyl bill language onto the
right.
shoot up a utility
right.
Senate bill. And so the conferees agreed to remove that, the fentanyl bill language, since the fentanyl bill has passed. And now we just have a clean shoot up a utility bill, and it applies to all utilities, water, sewer, electric, natural gas, you name it. So
Casey, excellent. For our listener, our listeners. Yeah. When you go to a conference committee, you either adopt the Senate version, the House version, or you can sometimes do a mixture of the two without getting free conference powers if it's nothing crazy. But if you want to change something altogether, you have to have free conference powers.
That's correct. So and that, just a, that just requires, you have to, the conference committee chairman has to go back to the body. They both have to give free conference powers. Once they do that, then the conference committee has to get back together, agree to the conference report, and come back and adopt the conference report.
I think
it takes two votes. If you're going into free conference, you got to vote to give them free conference and then vote to accept or adopt the conference committee report.
And that's if the conference committee wants to introduce something new.
That's not currently in either version.
Not in either version. That's right. Now, you can't, it has to be germane, obviously.
Like the firefighter death benefit.
Correct.
That was an effective date that they wanted to change.
Right. So. Well, yeah, but I mean, I guess, so like on the bond reform bill, adding these criteria for what constitutes a violation of your bond, that is something in the House and the Senate version, it just said if you violate your bond, there were no specific criteria as to what that violation looked like before you would be charged with the bond violation. So
just follow the Charles Reed rule of thumb. If you can't find the language in either the Senate version or the House version, you do not have the ability to to change it.
You got to get free conference.
Exactly.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
That's right.
Those were the big conference reports that they dealt with today. There were some introductions and some recognitions, but all in all, and I believe they've adjourned. Is that correct?
So I was, when I was looking like I was staring off into space, I was not. I was listening to the majority leader, Davey Hyatt, made a motion that when they do adjourn today, they adjourn sine die until the call of the chair and with consultation of the minority leader and majority leader. And if the chair or speaker does not call them back in, they sine die until the second Tuesday in January.
Perfect.
Senate's still in executive session, so.
Okay, and the House is already adjourned.
Yes, they're done. And Speaker Smith said that the Senate plans on doing the exact same thing that they just did.
Fantastic.
How about that? In the spirit of cooperation and collegiality.
Well, I'll tell you, after the, we had to have a big falling out over the budget, then we had to come back together.
After
we had to hold hands and sing a little bit.
What's the phrase I'm looking for, Mr. Producer? After last week's...
debacle?
No.
I like debacle.
Not dust, like up, dust up. But there's a more kind of arcane term for...
My nephew James calls it a squabble.
It's not the ugliness of last week.
Are
y'all
in
a squabble? Golly. I'll have to think of that. I'm trying to think of what the name, what that term is.
I mean, I could think of a lot of words, but I don't.
After the, no, it's not acrimony.
Casey, not
after the unpleasantness of last week.
I could think of some words. I just don't think it's appropriate for
my podcast. It was kind of entertaining. I'm not going to lie.
Amongst us in the bubble, yes, it was. It was very entertaining, embarrassing for the state, but it was entertaining nonetheless.
Anything else that we need to discuss before you give us the answer on the trivia? Or you give Joni some hints?
Joni's going to give the answer.
I hate trivia.
I'm going to give her a clue.
Okay, what's my clue?
Mr. Producer, right up her alley. So.
Mr. Producer, I think the next time we have trivia, we're going to have some beers in here so we can drink beers and
looking forward to that.
Have trivia.
Not just any beers.
What? No,
real
Lord,
good
no.
Beers.
I wouldn't dare just bring any beer in here. What city in South Carolina is the Emerald City?
Emeralds are green.
That's correct.
There you go. There's your first clue.
Joni, your high school alma mater, Woodruff High School, plays this high school in this city every year in region play.
Greenwood?
That is correct. Yes.
First guess.
How'd you get that?
Well, it's the only city I know that has green in the name.
Well, I don't know if that's why they call
why
it.
Why is it Greenville, the Emerald City?
Oh, I didn't think about Greenville.
Greenville's named after Nathan Green. Yeah, absolutely. Nathaniel Green, a Revolutionary
why,
War
it doesn't,
hero.
In my notes here, it doesn't say why Greenwood is called the Emerald City.
I don't know.
Greenwood's closer to Woodrow, so.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
There are lots of nicknames for our cities in South Carolina. Have you noticed that?
Well, you can make up a lot of stuff if you want to.
Well, there's a lot of nicknames.
Yeah.
So here's where we're going forward. Here's what's going to happen. We believe, from what everyone is indicating today, in the House and Senate, that they are done with their general legislative business for the year, and that they will come back once the governor has issued his budget vetoes. And as we talked about last week, the governor has the ability to line item veto in the budget. It's not just one whole bill.
Hey, what year did the governor just...
It was Governor Sanford. He just vetoed the whole bill. They came back, overrode it, went home, and they were like, well, see ya. I mean, pretty quickly.
Let's engage in a little bit of punditry here.
Okay.
If they've adjourned sine die, which means they can't come back and take up anything else.
No.
So that tells me...
You got to know from the two of us.
That they are ironclad, 100% confident that the state Supreme Court is not going to overturn the 6-week abortion ban.
No, they still are adjourned without a sine die resolution.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
So they can adjourn. I mean, they can say they're going to adjourn sine die,
but there's no resolution.
But there's no resolution that says they can or can't. Okay. So once they adjourn, they're saying at the call of the chair.
Which means the end of the regular session has finally fallen upon us.
Right.
But they can still come back and take
if
up
the
stuff
Supreme Court. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They can come back whenever they want.
As long as, you know, majority and minority leader agree with the speaker,
they can come back. So if the Supreme Court issues an opinion similar to the last opinion, then the governor can call them back, but the governor cannot tell them what to take up.
Mm-hmm.
But just like this last time.
Not in a direct way, but he can go out and, governor, and bully pulpit, say.
The governor consulted with.
Yes, of course.
Both chambers.
Yes, of course.
But yeah, they can, I mean, this is still wide open.
Yeah. All right.
It's still wide open. I would suggest, I mean, if anybody called and asked my opinion, I would never do this ever again. I would always have a sine die resolution.
I would say, but that's if you actually want to end the session.
Right. It seems like to me that back in May, there was definitely a desire to go back to a part-time legislature
that was the stated intent by the speaker.
Right.
But here we are.
Right. Here we are. And they'll be back. I mean, they'll have to come back to do vetoes. So it'll be next week.
Yeah.
So let's say they ratify today. What's today? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, leave out Sunday, Monday, Tuesdays. They come back in a week.
Yeah.
Okay. To deal with the budget vetoes. We'll,
a week off.
Which means we'll be back.
Which means y'all will. Right. You will be out of, basically out of the country, but.
Have fun.
Yeah. You will be out of the area.
Yes. I will be out of pocket.
Out of pocket. But Joni and Erica and I can come back on and we can talk about budget vetoes.
You're going to have a great show.
And we, you know what? We really might have some drinks.
Ooh.
Mr. Producer, I think we need some like fruity cocktails or something.
Can we have some
next
of that blue
Wednesday.
Tea that Todd made us?
Yeah, that was delicious.
It was Blue Bitty.
The blue iced tea?
Blue Bitty and something else in there.
It was delicious. It wasn't the hibiscus.
I like the blue tea
and,
a lot.
I mean, you know, we talk about this every time, but that hibiscus drink that we had that time.
I haven't pointed it out to him. He gives me all kind of grief for drinking seltzers. And here he is drinking,
for the claws?
Here he is drinking hibiscus tea.
Right.
I'm going to have to give it back to him on that.
I mean, I think you should. That's what this office is all about.
I got to go get untaxed delinquent here.
Well, I'm going to suggest that you get right with the law. Thanks, y'all, for listening. Come back next week.
Be sure to follow the Municipal Association's podcasts on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Find the latest from the Municipal Association on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the Association's website, masc.sc.